As I mentioned yesterday, our president, Dr. Pettit, is in Chattanooga for the first part of this week through tomorrow night, preaching in a revival service. And I think one of the greatest disappointments, probably the greatest disappointment for his not being here this week, is actually chapel today. In fact, he called me this morning and asked who was introducing the chapel speaker. He wanted to know that because the chapel speaker today is very near and dear to the president's heart, as he is to all of us who know him well. And that is Mr. Kyle Wilcox, who serves as the president's special assistant. And you saw him honored a week or so ago for the Staff Appreciation Award. And we really appreciate Kyle and the spirit and the way in which he serves our Lord here on campus. Kyle graduated from BJU, I think it was in 2009, with a Bible degree, and then did seminary work where he got a theology master's degree from our seminary here at BJU. He served faithfully as Dr. Stephen Jones' assistant when he was president and worked very, very smoothly, which any type of a transition is very difficult, but worked very smoothly through the transition of having our new president here. The Lord has called him to serve as a pastor, which he'll be, he and his family will be leaving here shortly to go up to New England to pastor at Mountain View Bible Church. He and his wife Sarah have three children, and we're praising the Lord for the ministry, this new opportunity that they've called them to. But we will certainly miss Kyle being around here. I appreciate Kyle for his humility, his servant's attitude, his steadiness, no matter what's going on around him. And we're delighted that he could be here today to preach God's word for us today in chapel. So, Kyle, you come.
5 years ago, God took me down a path that at the time felt like a detour. I wasn't fighting it. I wasn't upset with it. But I did feel like a portion of my life was somewhat disconnected with what God had called me to do. What I learned about that detour is that God actually doesn't take us down detours. He only leads us on His perfect path for our lives. Before I go further with that part of my story this morning, I should probably back up and tell you a little more about my life. Not because it's some dramatic story that just never made it onto ESPN's 30 for 30 list. And not because it's really that much different from any of your stories. I'm going to share my testimony this morning, a little different from normal. But I'm going to share my testimony this morning, God's story in my life, because really it's just that. It's a story of God's work in the soul and life of a young man who thought life was full of detours, when in actuality, it was anything but that. Before I jump into that story, though, I don't know about you, but I find listening to someone else's testimony incredibly profitable. A testimony is a real-life video clip of truth enacted. It's a testimony is the experiential lab hours like you have in a chemistry class. You sit in class and you learn facts, but then you go into the lab and you actually get to see those facts in action. In much the same way, we sit in chapel, we sit in our services on Sunday, and we hear Scripture providing a framework and a worldview and a structure for our lives. But testimonies provide a glimpse into how the life of man intersects with the mind of God. And sometimes that's not really a pretty picture. But so often, a testimony is a glorious window through which others can see the hand of God at work. I'm going to sprinkle Scripture through my testimony this morning, but really, I just want to share with you God's story in my life. So that being said, I guess I should just start right at the beginning, right here on campus. In 1986, I was born in Barge Hospital. It's like I was destined to be here or something. It's a great recruitment tool. start young, they show up someday. 8 months after I was born, the Lord led my family to a small town in upstate New York called Mohawk. My dad was and still is the pastor of the church there. I am the third of four children. And I grew up in what I thought was really a pretty normal small town life. I trusted Christ for salvation when I was four. I attended a small Christian school for the early elementary years of my education. And then I began homeschooling when I reached junior high. But in 1997, my quiet little life was altered, and I didn't like it. The Lord allowed for my oldest sister to attend a Christian boarding school 4 hours from our home, meaning she lived apart from our family, 4 hours away throughout the school year. She was in 10th grade. Our family was close. This was my family. This was my sister. This was high school. And I really struggled with what God was doing in our lives at that time. But then, to add insult to injury, 2 years later, my second sister, she attended the same school in her 10th grade year. And I visited the school, but I really promised myself and others that I would never attend that place. You know what happens when you make promises not to do something, right? Well, I was finishing my 10th grade year. I made it through 10th grade, not going there. And I knew it was going to be challenging to do the upper grade classes with our homeschool setup. I also knew I needed structure and discipline beyond what I was receiving at home. And it was good, but I really needed to grow. And I knew that. So I did the unthinkable. I told my parents that if God would make it possible, I'd be interested in attending that school for my junior and senior years of high school. So we began to pray. And God did make it possible. What happened over those next 2 years was life-altering. Transformed my life. God transformed me in ways I never thought necessary or even possible. They were undeniably two of the most formative years of my life. When my sisters went away to school, I felt like God was leading our family on some ridiculous detour. What are you doing, God? It was instead a straight path, a perfect path, flying like an arrow to the purposes that God had for us and for me. And this is probably a good point for me to pause and explain a little further what I mean by detours. You know, Scripture is clear that God has a goal for believers' lives. He wants to change us into the image of Christ for His glory. And when that is our goal as well, all of life, including the unplanned and undesirable changes and circumstances that come up, it's all a unique journey to reach that goal. But we begin viewing those unplanned and undesirable changes as detours when our goal shifts from God's goal. When I was in grade school, I had pretty short-term goals. I wanted our family to stay close. And when that didn't happen, I viewed it as a detour. And when we set our eyes on success, on wealth, on popularity, whatever it may be, and we take our eyes off of God's goal for us, we perceive the unplanned and undesirable changes that come up in our lives as detours. But back to God's story in my life. After graduating from high school, I came to BJU as a financial management major. I came with the mindset that this major would provide success, wealth, and comfort, and a life that, frankly, I hadn't enjoyed growing up. And I'm embarrassed to even say that now, because our family never went hungry. We always had clothes to wear. We had wonderful friends, family, experiences together. We never lacked. But I had rested my eyes on trinkets and treasure instead of on thanksgiving. But God was at work. I took an accounting class that first semester, and I realized very quickly there was no way I could do this for the rest of my life. And I would say, no offense to Mr. Buter or any of the faculty in that program or any of you who are studying that program, if God's called you to that, then you do it and you enjoy those Excel sheets. But what God was really doing was going after my heart. You see, I had come into my freshman year with the mentality, Lord, I will do anything for you, anything you want, but I will not be one thing. I will not be a pastor. I will not go into the ministry. And God was pursuing me about that. And finally, during Bible conference of my freshman year, second semester, my rebellion was clear in my eyes. It wasn't even that I said at that point, I'll go in the ministry. I'll be a pastor. It was just God wanted to know, can I work with everything? Are you willing for me to work with anything? And so by the end of that semester, I was a Bible major. And over the next few years, God used the training I received, ministry experiences that I participated in, His Word, and the encouragement of His people to direct my heart to the realization God has called me to preach. It's incredible. My rebellious heart tried to take a detour as I entered college. And what I found out was that God even uses our rebellious disobedience for His perfect work. Let me take another pause for a moment. God does have a goal for your life. Your Christ-likeness for His glory. However, you can rebel. You can disobey. You can go your own way. But that's your detour. You have taken that detour. God does not lead you down that road. That's you going your own way, just like me my freshman year, doing everything I could to go my own way. The wonderful thing is that God can still work in your life, and He does. And the best illustration of a rebellious detour in Scripture that turned out actually very well is when a man was told directly by God what God wanted him to do, and instead he rebelled, got on a boat, and ended up taking the first recorded submersible trip through the ocean. And God used Jonah's detour to break Jonah's rebellion. Don't blame God for the detour you chose to take. Because God is so big, He can work in your life in spite of your rebellion, using the very detour you've chosen in your disobedience. But God doesn't lead His children down detours, only on His perfect path. So back to God's story of my life. The fall of my sophomore year, I decided almost by chance, a whim, to attend the mission team organizational meetings. It really was a whim. I didn't think there was any possibility that, one, I could go, or two, that I would be a fit for any of the teams. So I attended one meeting that I was somewhat interested in, but I still had some meetings I could go to, and so I attended the Australia team meeting. I put my name down as interested, and really it seemed like what Proverbs says, a lot cast into the lap. I called my parents and told them I signed up for interest in this team. I told them it cost a lot. I told them, I think this might be foolish. I think I might need to stay home and work. And they wisely said, let's just wait and see what God does. And the next summer, I served in Australia for 2 months. My bills were paid. My concerns and worries never materialized. My eyes were opened to what God was doing around the world. I was stretched and transformed in ways I never thought possible. There was a part of me that initially felt like this was a detour. Here I was in school. I needed to earn money. I needed to pay bills. I needed to stay focused on my training and studies. And what I learned was that even when the lot is cast into the lap, or in other words, the road takes a turn by chance, it's still God's perfect path. Even the things we view as chance are determined and directed, decided by our God. So I returned from my junior year, already preparing for my next summer. I had a church internship coming up, and I had formed a friendship with a pastor in Australia who had interest in me returning as an intern. We were talking and making plans, and just after second semester started that year, everything just collapsed. My plans were gone. I had a deadline coming up of where I was going and what I was going to do for my internship, and I had nothing. No options, not even on the table. I'd been praying, but with that deadline approaching, I decided to spend some significant time asking the Lord for some wisdom here. One day later, Dr. Nathan Crockett sent me an email and said, "Hey, I'm aware of a church that's looking for an intern. I don't know where you're at, but I thought maybe you'd be interested." Dropped in my lap. I pursued it, and a few months later, I found myself interning at a church in Indiana, a place I'd never been. The church was a larger ministry with a school, something that I needed the exposure to. It was different from what I experienced growing up. God had shut the door on my return to Australia, and it felt like a 1,000-mile-long detour. But God didn't have a detour. He had a better road for me to take. I returned to BJU for my senior year and began preparing for seminary. I planned to get a GA position. I planned to finish my seminary degree in 2 years. I planned everything. I had it all planned out. It was great. I knew where I was going. I knew what I was doing. Plans are the good. I was pursuing a couple of GA positions at the time, but just before Christmas, all of those options disappeared. And here I was again, looking at, coming up to a deadline, and I have nothing. I can't pay for seminary without a GA position. What was up with my plans, God? And then a friend happened to mention a GA position that was open on campus. Didn't think it would be a good fit for me, but I went and interviewed and ended up with a position. My mind had planned my way, but God had directed my steps. A detour? No. Simply his perfect path. I should mention that 1 week after I graduated, I married the most beautiful lady in the world. And the most interesting thing about that, remember that path God took me on to the boarding school that I didn't want to go to back in high school? Guess what? That's where we met. It wasn't a bad path. I was in the middle of my second year of grad school. I had a couple of extra classes to take, so I decided to stay on as GA for a third year. And then I was intent. I was going out into pastoral ministry. I wanted to get out. I was ready to go, or so I thought. And one day in early March, I was sitting in my office in the Welcome Center, and the assistant to Dr. Stephen Jones at the time stopped by the office and asked me to take a walk with him. And I thought, uh-oh. What did I do wrong? As we walked, he explained that the Lord was leading him on from BJU and they were looking for someone to take his place. And then I really thought, what did I do wrong? He wanted to know if I would consider applying for the position. Oh, and they'd really like someone who'd be willing to stick around for 5 years. Well, here was my world. There was my new world. I told him I needed to pray, talk with my wife, and get some counsel. This was not in my plan. Personally, I wasn't interested in staying at BJU. I didn't have a problem with it. It just wasn't in my plan. I wasn't planning on staying here. But I talked with godly individuals in my life who counseled me, let the Lord have his way with this. You weren't looking for it. He dropped it in your lap. Just see what he does. So in went my application. And 2 interviews later, I had a job and a start date six weeks away. I knew it was God's direction. I didn't doubt that. I wasn't fighting that. I wasn't even upset with it. However, my perspective on it was incorrect. I really felt like and looked at this like it was a parenthetical statement in my life, an addendum, a detour, part of my life that was necessary, but out of course with what God had called me to do. I'm called to go and preach. What am I doing around here for another 5 years? After all God had done in my life, you'd think I would have learned. God doesn't take us down detours. He only leads on his perfect path. God put me right where I needed to be for the last 5 years. And I'll share with you three specific things that God has done in my life because he kept me here. I needed to be in close proximity with godly men. Watching their habits in the Word of God and in prayer has left an indelible mark on my life. Do you know where you'll find your president every morning from about 6 to 7:30? I'll tell you a secret. He's reading his Bible and he's praying. I can count on that. And watching that testimony was incredible for me. Their examples have driven me back to the basics in my own life. Read the Bible and pray. I also needed to be in the godly conservative church that God led us to. Our convictions, my wife's and my convictions, were being formed. My philosophy of ministry was being set. You know, we leave, we're not carbon copies of our church by any means. But we have been immersed in the Word of God. Our minds have been saturated with His mind. As we began our family together, we needed scripture instruction on how to do this thing called parenting. It's really insane. You can't take care of yourself, and God gives you a few more souls, lives, that you have to take care of. I explained it this way to someone recently. My wife and I grew up in godly homes. We came into marriage. We had all the elements of godliness, of what could be there. But we needed to be here for 5 years for God to work in us and show us and teach us how to put all those pieces together. And we're still learning. In fact, we can't even get a good family picture together. We try. I needed these 5 years, thirdly, to actually come to the point where I embraced what I believed. Let me explain that real quick. A little over 2 years ago, I was wrestling with my own soul. I actually asked my dad something to the effect of, "Do you think I'm saved?" I questioned if I was really called to preach. Because of this path God had me on, I was surrounded with scripture, I was supported, I was involved in service, and all of that protected me while I battled through this. In fact, it was a Sunday school lesson at church a couple of summers ago that finally broke through my clouds of question and doubt like a sun. What I had believed all along, I now embraced. It was as if what I was taught and believed had been put through a fire of questions and a hammer blows of doubt, and that faith had come out like a cold blade of ready steel, perfectly fitted for my hand. It was mine. If I had gone through those doubts outside of this path, I don't know, frankly, what would have happened. But I do know what did happen. God preserved and matured me. Because God doesn't lead us down detours. God leads us on his perfect path. So on April 1st of this year, I submitted my resignation in order to pursue God's call to the ministry. I had one conversation with a church at that point, but that had not really proceeded anywhere. About a month later, a church in southern New Hampshire, Mountain View Bible Church, contacted me. They'd been without a pastor for a few months and heard I was looking. So we began to talk, visited in July. A couple weeks later, we returned to the church, and the church voted to call me as their senior pastor. We move up there in 6 days. The most interesting thing about that, it's the church that I attended when I went to the boarding school that I never wanted to go to. God doesn't lead his children down detours, only on his perfect path. Proverbs 16:3 promises this: commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Again, God doesn't lead his children down detours, only on his perfect path. That's God's story in my life. What's he doing in yours? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the way you work in our lives is sometimes beyond the scope of our understanding. It is certainly beyond what we can fathom. We can see little bits and pieces of it and watch these pieces join together, but we really need eyes of faith to trust that you lead down perfect paths. I pray that you would be with each one in this room today, that each one would understand and realize that you are working in their lives and that their goal would line up with your goal for them, their transformation into Christ-likeness. And we thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. In your Son's name, amen.